is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm an intuitive life and business coach here to help you create better life and better work. I help super successful people, you know, the recovering overachievers, put the soul back in their lives, and I help soulful people create success. On this show, topics range from the mystic to the logistic, and our content will support your being and your doing while on your path to create better life and better work. More is not better. Better is better. This is episode number 61, and I have a special treat for you guys today. It is savvy, ageless, goddess extraordinaire, Denise Ackerman, or Denny as her nickname, as I know her as well. And so Denise is a super soulie. She has been a member of Soulful Success for over a year. You were so excited. It was so fun that you were so excited to get it. And so I'm excited to bring her here. So this is another fun one for me too, because Denise and I, our paths crossed at Keller Williams, and we were both productivity coaches. And so I met her through another friend of mine. I remember we went to lunch in some small town. I don't even remember what it was, and sat in your pool before you sold your dream house. And we just kind of randomly connected this one weekend through another friend. And then when I left Keller Williams, you joined my coaches club. It was my first group program outside of the company. I was nervous and scared, but also super excited to do this. And I love that you put faith in me. And that was 8 years ago, so, 2011.
It was 2011.
Yeah. And so it's 2019. And then one of the things I love about my clients, because Soulful Success is, it's right now the price is $222, $222. And so the price is at a lower place. So it allows you, like, if you want to invest in bigger programs, or, you know, you have money to do more than one thing. So I know you recently completed some stuff with Mary Morrissey, and you've done a lot of speaker training. Your website is amazing. Y'all check it out, deniseackerman.com.
Thanks.
And so what I want to let Denise do is I want you to tell us, you have such a unique niche, especially in this online world. And I know you don't just work online, you actually work more offline, but let me let you introduce from your context and from the professional context, who you are and what you do.
Thanks, Allison. I'm so excited to be here today. I am very excited to be one of the elite soulies. And I should have worn my shirt, but this was so savvy of me. So, okay. So when you met me in 2011, swimming in the swimming pool, I was not yet with Keller Williams. I was exploring the thought of becoming a coach.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. I had been in the real estate business like you, in leadership for 10 years. And that year was a year for me. Actually, 2010, my birthday's in August. I just turned 68, and you'll find out why that's important. And 3 days after my 59th birthday, my husband of 23 years informed me that he no longer wanted to be married. Hmm. Now, I have a smile on my face now, because at the time, it was the most horrendous thing that had ever happened to me. And it broke me open. I like to talk about being broken open and how that creates growth. And it literally broke my world open. And within a few company I'd worked for 10 years in leadership, closed my office. We'd come through a downturn in real estate. Things weren't doing so well. And they just said, we're going to close a bunch of offices, and yours is one of them. My kids were at a point where they were ready to leave home. So here I was, like on a cliff, looking at my 60th birthday, going, oh, shit, I get to start totally over.
I mean, that nobody expects that. You're thinking by 60, my husband and I get to enjoy our dream house. I'm an empty nester. I have time and space. Not completely starting over like a kid out of college would be doing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It was almost that bad, except the good part was that I had 35 years behind me in professional business. Besides real estate, I'd been a social worker. And in 1999, I was introduced to coaching.
And what year? Say again, that sound broke up.
1999.
Okay, 1999.
Long time ago. That was before we even knew what coaching was. Yeah. And I started coaching in that year. And in 2001, right before 9/11, my husband lost his job, and I was getting ready to go into coaching, and he said, you got to go back to work. So I went back to real estate. Now, the reason that's important to this story is that I put my dream on hold, and I stuffed that feeling of wanting to become who I really was, I thought, meant to be. Mm-hmm. And I used to say, this is just not fair. God, or life, or whatever you want to call the universe, this is not fair. I have to give up my dream. Well, so here I was, almost 60 years old, and the voice I heard inside was, this is why you...
Oh, say it again. We had another sound glitch. The voice inside your head said, this is what?
This is why you had to wait. You are getting ready to be 60, and there's a whole world out there who needs you. And you wouldn't have known that 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I instead of going into sadness, which let's not excuse it, that I did, I was in sadness.
Sure.
I was in horrific sadness. And I'd rather than to sit in that, I would go for my dream. And so I didn't know how. I didn't have the money. Nothing made sense. I just said, I'm going to become a coach. And then I met you and your friend. And
we can say her name. Okay, we can say her name. Nikki Buckaloo. Yeah.
Okay. So I met Nikki. I met Nikki in a coaching program. And then she introduced me to you, never thinking I'd be with Keller Williams. And
we probably, I wonder if, were we at the stage or we were trying to talk you out of it?
Yes. You were like, you don't want to do that.
But it's all perfect.
And, yes.
Then
I ended up, early ended up in the office where you had been the productivity coach.
Oh my gosh. I remember, but I forgot, but I remember. That's right. Yes. You came to the Lake Travis office for like a year. Holy cow.
Yes. I mean, there were so many synchronicities that happened. And I am so grateful that I took that leap. Mm-hmm. I mean, the connections, I won't go into all of them. There's so many connections that literally led me to that step. I found the most amazing apartment, which became my haven in my healing. And it was meant to be.
Oh.
And what came out of that was that I realized, I met a woman that became my neighbor. I was coaching her at Keller Williams, and then she became my neighbor, and she was a widow, same age as me.
Oh.
And it occurred to me that there were so many women out there in transition at that later time in their life, anytime from 40 on, mm-hmm. that they needed someone to help them. And so fast forward, I stayed with Keller Williams for 8 years. I'm very, very grateful. Mm-hmm. Amazing training in business and in coaching.
Amazing.
Amazing training. And while I was doing that, I kept having this dream, this feeling like I was supposed to do something. And so I was working with a marketing person who I decided I couldn't afford her anymore. And before I ended that, she said to me, Denise, you have to do something for me. And she had read some of my writing. And she said, you must start writing.
Mm.
And I said, I don't have a website. I don't know how. She said, you're going to create a Facebook group and think about what you want to call it. And so being a marketing person, she and I brainstormed. And I love the word sage. Mm-hmm. Because sage to me evokes more than just wisdom, which is what it means. Sage, the sages of our ancient times were the elders. They were the honored elders, and they mentored people younger than them. And so I thought, okay, SAGE is the word. Now what's the acronym? And I spent hours going through words, and the words savvy, ageless, goddesses, extraordinaire came up.
Oh, I love that. We're going to get into those four words in a minute, because that's the essence of what I told Denise before we went live. I was like, it's going to be so tempting for us to go back to all our history and we can spend a lot of time there. The points, but I really want to get to the meat of this. But the point, I really like get chills when I think about you and your work, is really listening within. Even though you put your dream on the back burner or put it on hold, then all of a sudden at 60, it was never too late to start your dream. And you could stay in the sadness or create your dream and not let anything, much less your age, be an excuse. And I know I've heard you say that to people before, and I've seen it on your website. Like, it's never too late to start your dreams. And I love that as someone, so I'm 47, almost 20 years younger than you, 19 mm-hmm. years younger than you. And there are times when I get frustrated and feel like I'll tell myself the silly story that I'm washed up or no longer relevant. Mm-hmm. And that is just a lie. It is not true. And so I love you bringing your sageness to the world and to people in whatever way it is. You're right. We do need those people. And so I'm so glad you listened. And I also love that you honored, you know, like you said, I jumped into like, oh, it started at 60. You know, you started like new, and you're like, no, I didn't. I had all mm-hmm. that history. Mm-hmm. And that is something we tell people when you're starting a new, you might be starting a new track, but you have that experience. You have the fuel. You have the skills. You have so much. All you're doing is just a new, you're building a new road off the already existing mega highway. So let's talk about savvy, ageless, goddess, extraordinaire. Sage, y'all, sage. So tell me about savvy. What does okay. savvy mean for you?
So I'm going to back you up just, okay. and I'm going to tell you how I came to that. I did a lot of driving up and down the interstate between Austin and Dallas for a year. And in that time, I would listen to audiobooks, and here I am, 60 years old. I'm thinking, you know, I need to learn about this. And so I would listen to, there was a very, very important book for me. That was Dr. Christian Northrup's Goddesses Never Age.
Yep.
And what she talked about in there is mindset, a lot about mindset. And we have been conditioned in our world to think that at 47, 45, we start aging. And then at 50, you get your P card if you want it. And at 55, you get your senior discounts, which, by the way, she said, don't do them. And I'm like, hell no. I like it.
My husband loves his senior discount.
I love it.
And coupon stat.
Yes. I mean,
today's them, Monday, and he was going to our local grocery store as senior Mondays, so and you get a day. Discount.
I love okay. it.
Yeah, I got it. No.
Yeah, I always go on my senior discount. And she also says, don't tell your age. Well, I don't feel 68. I don't look 68. And so, you know,
I kind of like bucking the, I like actually pattern interrupting the mm-hmm. old thoughts. I mean, so every once in a while you say that on one of our calls, you'll say something, I'm 68, and we all kind of shake our heads. But it, I think it causes us all to stand up straighter. And I know this year for my 47th birthday, I was like, oh, I can't wait to be 50. I can't wait. Like there's an energy about 50 that I'm making up or sensing. And part of it is that sage wisdom and that elderness.
True.
And so I was like, this year is my 47 slot. My coach was like, you don't have to wait to be 50. So I called it my 47/50. And I like, we are so lucky to live and be, and then on top of that, be the example of dreams and creation. Oh, that gets me excited.
Well, okay. And that's what all that is to say, that's what savvy became.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When we are smart about aging, and I don't even like the word aging, that's why I came up with ageless. Mm-hmm. I could have called it savvy aging. No.
Savvy aging, God, is it? Yeah. This doesn't sound the same.
No. I mean, let's face it. So we're getting the senior discounts at 55. 60, and at 65, when we get our Medicare, we can go on Social Security, and I get stuff from funeral homes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, are you friggin' kidding me? And constant stuff from financial advisors, and they're all scare tactics.
Mm-hmm.
It's fear. We have to let go of the fear around aging.
I love that. So smart, savvy is smart. About age.
Smart
so what
about
are some
age.
Things like, if you could, what are your top three ways to be smart about age?
Starts with mindset.
Okay.
And then, and if you read my post yesterday, you know, this is the one that I'm right now have a lot of intention around, and that's health.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take care of this vehicle that our soul came to this world in, because when we are savvy, ageless, mm-hmm. we've got a job to do. We have people behind us that we have to be the elder for. We have to show the wisdom, and we're goddesses. We are goddesses. We treat ourselves as the goddesses that. Now, there's a lot of people out there that kind of get itchy around that word, especially if they're in a traditional world, and it is intended for that. It's intended to honor ourselves, mm-hmm. to see the beauty, no matter how old we are, and to, it's a reverence. It's the sacredness in us. Mm-hmm. And as we get older, the goddesses, the elders, were the wisdom keepers. And so that's what we are. We're wisdom keepers having a lot of fun. I don't know. That's the extraordinaire part. If I could have put the word fun in there, I would have put the word fun in there, because gosh, there's so much freedom when you reach the age. For a lot of people, it's right around 50 when their kids start leaving home.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have discovered is that it's also the time when a lot of people, and I'm not going to say just women, it's men too, hit that midlife stride, and the life as they knew it is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the career ends. Maybe it's a marriage. And if you have children, they leave home.
Right.
And then you feel like, what do I do from here? And so if we focus on the sadness in that, in the fear in that, which is what society will tell us to do, then we, you know, we're in a spiral down. My fire and my inspiration and motivation for people is to focus on, oh my goodness, I've got a whole life ahead of me.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I really savvy, meaning smart, with intention, using your mind, not buying the stories, the mindset part of it. I know we've touched on the ageless, goddess, and explore a little bit more, but I want to dive deeper. So let's go to ageless.
So ageless has to do with choosing. Mm. It's choosing ageless. Finding those people in our lives or in our sphere or in the media who are way ahead of us. I mean, one of my favorites was Louise Hay, mm-hmm. Maya Angelou, people who lived, Louise Hay lived into her 90s.
Yep.
And she was still very, very vibrant. There's a woman, Cal Porcelain, I think that's her, you say, she is a yoga teacher at 100 years old.
Mm.
And she is the epitome of grace and beauty. That's ageless.
Right.
That's choosing to not care about your age. And here's the thing. You're 47. I'm 68. I still feel like I'm 30. Mm-hmm. You know, in my mind, I don't think I'm any older.
I totally get it. I don't know. Like, I mean, I know what it's like to be me, but when I think of 47, that's the thing is like, sometimes I feel 6 and sometimes I feel 26 and sometimes I feel 166.
And as you say to us in your group, and sometimes we feel like that poor, pitiful, whiny girl, little girl over there who's sitting in the corner, and you say, stop.
Right. I love that. So ageless is about choosing. It's about choosing. And what I'm hearing intuitively is it's like, we're not buying the stories. We're not buying the stories that the world tells us. It's the first law in, the four agreements. The first agreements is be impeccable with your word. And that's not just about making promises. That's about the way you think. Be impeccable with your thinking is choosing to be ageless. I love that.
That's right.
Okay,
that's
so let's go deeper into goddess. Let's go deeper into goddess.
So one of the things you know about me is that I'm deeply spiritual. From traditional upbringing, I've been on a 30-year spiritual journey. And whenever I have read about goddesses, it was about honored and beautiful. And like I said before, it was the sacred. Mm-hmm. And when we can say, I'm a goddess, mm-hmm. there's, you know, we kind of raise up.
Yeah.
And when we see ourselves in that place of beyond beauty, it's an essence. Mm-hmm. And that's to me what a goddess is. A goddess is a strong, powerful woman with depth and power and beauty and brains.
Mm-hmm, and brains. Well, and I think brains. Too, I get that we were both kind of raised in that traditional world. And I it's not just that we've left it, it's that we've grown wider than it.
That's
and so, yes, there, I'm not worried about offending anybody. And so there may be some people, oh, like that's blasphemy. If anything, I don't think that's blasphemy. I think we're taking this human container of us being female. And you and I happen to be cisgender females, which means the sex we were born with. And a lot of, without going down a complete rabbit trail, I remember being raised in the Baptist school and then teaching at the Catholic school. And the Catholic school had a few more women books that the Baptist school didn't have. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, they took out the strong women and left in the supplicating women. And so I don't think that's a matter of God. I think that's a matter of human beings controlling shit. The patriarchy. Yeah. And I don't want, when I talk about the patriarchy, I'm not talking about honorable men, but we are, as women, we are getting our power back and we are rising up and we are realizing that we have the right to have brains and that we have the right to see ourselves in the image of God. And God says, I am in you. You are in me. And if we put our femaleness in there, it is goddess. And I think, it, you know, I love it too. That was a big part of the sacred feminine. We were raised in masculine spirituality, but bringing the feminine spirituality back, that reminds me, Megan Watterson has a book that just came out recently. She's done a lot of spiritual study. And it might be about Mary Magdalene. I may have the name of it wrong, but it's like she's done so much study about the historical context of things that got shut off as far as women and spirituality and history. And so I love that you are not only allowing in you, but invoking in anybody who is open to receive. You're not pushing it on you, but open to receive that goddessness.
Well, and yes, and what you're saying is that, Allison, is that, you know, before the patriarchs, before this time of male domination, it was the women in the ancient societies, the Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to bring back into us. I mean, I love that I'm a part and you're a part of the generation that we women were all part of that change.
Right.
And it's more than just being a powerful woman. Mm-hmm. It's owning the mystical. The magic. I'm working on a book called Magic, Mundane to Magic, because it's all about owning you, the magical part of you. And that's in the goddess.
And that's a lot of what got shot down was, you know, I have a couple of clients who identify as witches. And I was raised in a society that word was like, ah! And then I realized and I researched and I was like, that's just spirituality. That's all. And like, that's how
paganism.
That's how we started out. And it's, you know, it's called something different in different parts of the world. Like Native Americans had Native American spirituality, which was a nature spirituality and paganism. And it's just fascinating. And I love that, you know, there's a whole kind of shaming group of people that are like, oh, we're appropriation. But then I'm like, no, something that has been long shut down is rising up again. And it is not just women in the boardroom like there was in the 90s. It was like, oh, you can have your babies and your career, that kind of thing. It's not just that. It is the full essence of that. And I love how even, I'm going to make a tie in here. I was reading something this morning from Hiro Boga. We have a lot of mentions in this today, but Hiro Boga wrote a book called The World of Your Business Playbook. And I had bought it for myself at the beginning of the year, and something in my quiet time this morning had me pick it up. And one of the questions she asked is, who is the lineage of your business? Like, and you had talked about like how how we had woven in together, right? And even some of the lineage that we have with Keller Williams, I'm really thankful for, even the hurt stuff. There was way more good than there was hurt. You know, I happened to meet you at a time when there was hurt, but that's a part of the lineage. And I had those people written down in there. And so to me, that's also part of the goddess, that the goddess recognizes, right, that she's one with everything. She's right. Not just an independent motherfucker. Sorry for your listeners, but right, like she's one with everything. Ooh, I could tell you, we could make this go on forever and ever and ever. Okay, goddess extraordinaire. Tell me about extraordinaire.
So I could have chosen. There are a lot of words that I could have gone with. Excellence. I don't remember all of them. Out to the word extraordinaire. Mm-hmm. I knew just by saying it's kind of, it has to it. And for me, what that means is that we get to choose. Again, it's the mindset piece. We get to choose. Do we want to be one of those people? And there's nothing wrong with this. So, but there's so many people that hit a certain point in life. And a lot of times it's around 60, 65. And they just get into this normalcy of staying in their home. There's nothing. I mean, they travel and stuff, but they're just, I don't know. It's not an extraordinary life. Extraordinary life was in the past. I'm like, no.
Every day can be extraordinary. And y'all, funny. I love it. So what you can't see if you're listening to the podcast, we're recording this on Zoom. And so we can see each other. She is wearing a leopard print blouse. She has her fiery red, dark red hair, her red glasses, her red lips, I think they're pink earbuds and red nails.
Yeah.
Like she,
yeah, red nails.
Right. Like the embodiment. And so, well, not just embodiment, but you have adorned yourself in the expression of extraordinary. There's nothing mundane about your physical experience, physical presence, or that's not the right word, your physical
expression.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Right. And yeah. So keep going. I just wanted to point that out to listeners to set the visual stage. And if you look at her website, you'll see all the colors and bold and bright, and your glasses and your lips are part of your, I mean, you've always had red glasses and red lips and red hair. But that's such a, it's not just in who you, what you look like, but you are truly walking, talking, being extraordinary on a daily basis in your home office, not just out in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I want to throw in another piece here, another part of my story that I didn't throw in. And again, this is where I got to decide for me, about a year and a half ago. My career, I'd known it, much like yours, came to a rather abrupt end. And I was, you know, in my mind, I was holding on like the cat that's hanging and their claws are going down. Holding on. I loved my job, but I didn't like what was happening. And it ended. And I got to decide, okay, do I go into a puddle? I was, you know, over 65. I was ready for Social Security. And thank God I had it. I celebrate that.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for that. And I had just manifested. You talked about my dream home before. I manifested my own home that I didn't think I could buy. And I did, because I made a decision that I was going to be extraordinary. Mm-hmm. I was going to have my own home office, and you can't see all the stuff around me, surrounded by the things that emphasize that I am a savvy, ageless goddess extraordinaire, and that I have a job to do. I have been given a movement, and that's what I like to call it, a movement to be the savvy, ageless goddesses, and guys who get it, by the way.
And guys who get it. Yep, I love that.
And guys who get it.
Oh, I just want to acknowledge you. I remember, I don't remember all the details, but I remember having a one-on-one conversation, and it might have been right before you joined Soulies, just to reconnect with you and see if it was a fit, about going forward and about, like, you had just done all this, and how were you going to make it financially work? And I don't remember all the details, but I remember the essence of, you've got this. I mean, you have a history that shows that you're going to do it. And then I love now, right? Like, I love, if you look back later, how you have, of course you've done the inner work, but look at all the outer work you've done too. You have a full roster. You're starting to speak more. I think recently on a call, you were like, yeah, it's time to scurry up some clients. And so you went and did a couple of talks and you got some clients. And this is, for those of you listening, we'll be doing a podcast about this soon, but you're in the achievement phase, even though the rug got pulled out from under you again. You just ran right through that startup phase again, and then here you are. And so just really acknowledging you and that commitment to be savvy, ageless goddess extraordinaire, and the mindset and the essence of that, and then choosing to behave. So action always involved, to behave that way has created these results around you. Ooh, and this movement. So where can people... Where's the best place to connect with you and begin being a part of your energy and essence and find out more about this movement?
So as you mentioned, they can go on my website, denisehorman.com. And I just see that as a place to find out more about me. And if they want to connect, they can connect there. They can ask about coaching. I think the biggest part, our biggest place for them to go, especially the women, and there are a few good guys there.
Yeah.
Is on my Facebook, in my Facebook group, which is facebook.com/savvy ageless goddesses. The extraordinaire is not in there just because it just so
just wouldn't
long.
Fit, right?
So long. So facebook.com/savvyagelessgoddesses. And I write there every day.
Do write there every day. You connect and communicate every single day with
yes.
people. You are actively in there. Perfect.
Yeah.
And
sometimes I'll just say, sometimes it's inspirational and sometimes it is raw. And that's what I love, that I'm going to plug your program. That's what I love about your program and about you is that we get the full expression of Allison. Mm-hmm. And I've watched you, you know, since I met you in the swimming pool. That was McKinney, Texas, by the way. and I've watched you on my Facebook group page, on your page, be as real and as vulnerable as they come. And you have given me the courage to be that way. So I just want to acknowledge you for that.
I love that. I love our energies and stories and space intertwined. And I see, you know, I think about what does it mean for me? That's one of the things you do really well in that group is you ask really thought-provoking questions, right? It's not just cat videos. I mean, sure, sometimes cute stuff is there, but you ask really thought-provoking questions that even if someone just considers for a moment. And so, you know, I think about that. What does it mean for me? Listeners, what does it mean for you? What does savvy mean for you? You heard what Denise says it means. What is your version of ageless? What is goddess? What is extraordinaire? And for me, as a leader in leadership roles, I had some really strong leaders. And they were so strong, they didn't show me any of their weaknesses. And I didn't see the human part. And that's the other thing I love about, I'm trying to figure out, maybe it's savvy. Or maybe it's both and, right? It's sandwiched. The savvy and the extraordinaire is like just our humanness. Why are we smart? We talked about this on the call today. We ended up talking about like, yeah, dream big, but be willing to do the boring stuff. Be willing to do the difficult days. Don't assume that going after your big goal, that it's all going to be perfect. I used the example of wanting to own horses at one time, and my parents took me to a horse farm that their friend had, and 15 minutes into him telling me about how to worm a horse and having to get up early, I was like, yeah, I don't want to own a horse. Like, I wasn't willing to do the work. And so to me, being savvy is willing to do both the fun stuff and some of the more difficult things. It is that transparent leadership to let people know the both sides. And so I just another little energetic connection of our stories, because I see you doing that too. And you know, it's kind of become a strategy in social media now. Cracks me up. And for me, it wasn't ever strategy. I just couldn't keep my mouth shut. I couldn't not share it. And so I love seeing you. I love seeing you do that too.
Well, and I'm just going to say this, that I don't do that as the strategy for social media.
No, I don't think you do either.
I do that because there's so much to share. And it's through my that, I get to talk about just day to day gritty.
Yeah.
I like to talk to people about what they love and their dreams. That's what I am. I love to build dreams with people. And you're right. It's not always easy.
I think that's the other part of the stage is the wisdom of, you know, we haven't really talked about the business acumen that you have, but you guys, this woman has been in business for herself for many, many years and has coached thousands of people to make millions and millions of dollars and run teams and sales and all that kind of, you know, so we're talking about the sage part today, but there is this whole machine that she is able to coach and do, and combining both of those, I lost my train of thought, but hold on a second, because I really wanted to point out that, by the way, you're also, oh, it's the experience. It's like when you and I have coached, as long as we have coached, we are not new to the industry, you have even more experience than I do. And I feel like I'm somebody who, like, I look around and not many people have that. It's like, you've had enough conversations to know. I think your website says it. Maybe your website says it politely. You cut to the chase. No BS. It doesn't cuss. Mm-hmm. I'm the cusser, but it's something like she cuts through the BS real quick. Mm-hmm. And I like that kind of learning and transformation. I want my audience to like that kind of learn. I want my audience to have that kind of, without coaching, bypassing, or spiritual. I want them to have the both and experience, because we are spiritual beings having a human experience. The human experience comes with both extreme joy and fun and lots of shit. Denise. Okay, I'm going to take a breath and I'm going to ask you two more questions that I sometimes do with guesses. So the show is the Better Life, Better Work show. It may be changing, but who knows? Because we always evolve. But right now it's Better Life, Better Work. So what is one tip for better work off the top of your head?
For me, it's all about focus.
Okay.
And recognizing and noticing when I'm not in focus, when I'm and it's so easy to do. I mean, it's so easy, especially social media, or whatever it is. It's so easy to get off track. And it's just starting over every day and being present with yourself and asking yourself, what will serve me today? What is the highest and best thing that I can do that will serve me and serve those that I serve?
Mm. Love it. And so the second one is, what's your tip for better life?
That's easy. That's so easy. I have been a meditator for probably 30 years. And I start my day every day with quiet time.
Mm.
My favorite thing to do is get up, get my... And if it's pretty enough outside, I'll go to the porch. If it's not, I stay in bed with my coffee. And I read something that's inspirational, and then I just get quiet. Now, the chatter may still be there, but the fact that I practice being still, some days are better than others, but it makes me just be present in the moment. And putting gratitude in that that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
That changes our world, to be in gratitude.
I love that. Thank you so much for spending time with me today.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for being a super soulie. I love it. Up next is soulie gold. Soulie gold is the people that hit the 2-year mark. And so we will put all the stuff on the show notes. There'll be a transcript on the show notes. There will be all the links to Denise's website, to her social media accounts, to her group, which you'll want to join if this resonates with you and just get connected and inspired. And obviously, if you are at a place where you resonate and realize that Denise might be the person for you to work with, she's got a way for you to reach out on her website. If not that, then come be one of her colleagues in Super Soulies or in Soulful Success.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to seeing you in person at the Austin retreat.
I can't wait.
And
I'm so excited.
Thank you so much for being on the Better Life, Better Work show.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Allison. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode and want to dive deeper, come check out Soulful Success. It's my online coaching membership community where we dive deep into the practices of being and doing that help you create your unique version of soulful success in the world. It's a special community of small business owners just like you, and it's where I show up and give my clients personal support at an accessible fee. Check it out at www.soulfulsuccess.info. That's SOULFULL. SUCCESS.info. SoulfulSuccess.info. As always, thanks for listening. Totally appreciate you thinking about somebody who might really love this episode and you sharing it with them. Also, I always appreciate your reviews. It's like podcast currency. It's like a tip in the jar saying thanks. And finally, if you want to share on social media a screenshot or any insights you get from listening to this episode, I will totally respond. You can share with the hashtag Better Life, Better Work Show. This show is sponsored by my three rescued dogs, Leroy Brown, Clementine, and Rocky Potato. They're here to remind you to consider adoption when you get your next pet. More is not better, better is better.